Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be here with us today. We are at Daniel 7, book of the Old Testament. Daniel, one of the most interesting but prophetically complex books in the Bible. 7 is where the complexity begins, and no one is ever fully been able to understand the next three chapters. But I have my understandings that I tried to cling to, and I'm not going to tell you I fully understand it. But I have given it hundreds of hours of consideration. And we've come a long way. The children of Israel are in captivity as a result of their disobedience to God. They'll be there for 70 years. I mean, that's already prophesied, and Daniel knows. He's read the prophecy, I think it was in Jeremiah, and he knows how long this captivity will take, and he even prays about that here coming up. Daniel is a eunuch. He was given over. He was one of the royals from the king's court in Jerusalem. They were handed over to the captain of the eunuchs, and Christianity doesn't want to believe that, but there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, God in Revelation has a covenant with those who make themselves eunuchs for my sake. It's a very special reward in the end of times. I don't think Daniel had any say in the matter, but you see, we talked about this, that when a man's focus, when a man's distractions are taken away, he's able to focus his heart entirely on God. And that's who Daniel is. And Daniel becomes the most powerful man under Nebuchadnezzar and some of the succeeding kings that has already taken place in Babylon. And we see, in fact, that Daniel paves the way for the Magi to come and give their gifts to the Messiah when he's born in Jerusalem hundreds of years later. He delivers a scroll to Darius as he marches triumphantly through Babylon after he's taken over the kingdom. Cyrus or Darius, I don't remember which. But he has a scroll handed to him with his name on it, written 150 years earlier. Daniel was an amazing fellow. And we're getting into some of Daniel's prophecies here. Now, these prophecies are twofold. They represent upcoming kingdoms within a few hundred years of Daniel's time, and they also represent end days kingdoms. You have to try to correlate exactly what's happening here. There'll be four kingdoms coming up, and we pretty much kind of identify those as conquering kingdoms of the still in the BC period, and then they are themselves a representation of kingdoms that will happen in the last 7 years of this world. So it's, I say the last 7 years, that's when their end will come. Their kingdoms will arise before that, and we'll try to identify them here and give you various reasons why I believe that's exactly what it is. So we're here in chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and say, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. For winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. That is spiritual influence from God, and the great sea is humanity. So God is stirring up things to happen in the world. And four great beasts came up from the sea. Now, we had already talked about in one of Daniel's prophecies earlier that a beast that comes up is a people. And the fact that they're coming up from the sea, they're coming up four peoples, four diverse peoples are coming up out of humanity upon the earth. Came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Each one very different in their ideologies, in their politics, in what gods they serve. Very different from one another. Start thinking about different nations in the world now, powerful nations, and how different they are from one another. And first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. And behold, till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Okay. Now there's some symbology in there that would make one consider that that could possibly be America. America is also described in this book as a young prowling lion in different places because of its power and the fact that it has not existed that long. And the wings of the eagle are an easy one. That is the national symbol. Okay, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. Ah, we're going to see a prophecy here where this America, it is absolutely America, and it is destroyed. And he's lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart, can also be said a man's understanding, was given to it. Okay, and behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and it rises up upon on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said, thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. Now, we all know the great nation in this world, the powerful nation, I don't want to call it great, the powerful nation, whose symbol is a bear, and that is Russia, which began as the Soviet Union. And the ones on the one side, I do believe that is a reference to the fact that a ideology had taken control of all the people in the country, and the entire population uprose as one and made communism their god. And it had three ribs in its mouth, between its teeth. They said, thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. Well, 30 million people died in the initiation of the Soviet Union, Russia, under its Stalin. It was a bloodbath. Basically what it says here, arise, become great, devour much flesh. 30 million people. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now this one is the hardest one to identify. I do believe it is China, though, because China is the eastern player that the Bible talks about in other places. I have never been able to actually identify the leopard and the four wings or any correlation to the nation other than the fact that it must be China is the third player in this. And then the fourth one is very easy to identify because it's talked about in multiple places, Revelation and several other of the prophets. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Okay, this is the Antichrist's one world government. And that's absolutely, there is no missing this one, because that same narrative there is spoken about many, many times with the 10 underlings, the 10 underling kings that are under the Antichrist, and the fact that he subdues several of them because they break away from his rule. That one is without a doubt. And Daniel had already talking about the great nation that would arise. He saw iron and clay in the great statue that Nebuchadnezzar had seen in his dream, and the feet were made of iron and miry clay. And it said that they had mixed themselves with the seeds of men and taken control of the world. And they, this is what's this great diversity here, it says, it is very, very different from all the others, because the others come from humanity. This is a portion of humanity under the control of demonic forces. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. That is the man himself. And I like how he describes him as a little horn, because it says he exalts himself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he's not Jesus Christ, okay? But he's going to come here as a minor minion and proclaim himself to be God. So the little horn speaking great things, and the horn has eyes like the eyes of men. There, he's going to be very knowledgeable, and he's going to know what's going on everywhere in this world. Going to be pretty much impossible to hide from him, because all of his minions are going to be released at that time into the earth, and they're going to be everywhere. There's a spiritual war going on all around us, and there will be nowhere to hide. You think you're safe, you and your friends in your basement worshiping God? They're going to find out, and they're going to know you're there. Oh, well, the rapture's going to pull us out of here. No, it's not. We're going to talk about that here shortly. That's a pipe dream. That's going to make the Christians of the world have a great falling away, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians. There'll be a great falling away at this time, because these pastors for years had been preaching, oh, before this stuff all happens, before all these bad things happen, God's going to snatch us all out of here. And the Bible does not say that. In fact, it says contrary to that. The church will be subdued by this man. Christians will be hunted down by this man if the rapture takes place. I've often wondered, where are all these Christians, and where is this church that this man's going to subdue and hunt down and persecute? And it's maybe God pours out some of these mixed with water instant Christians after the rapture, just to give him something to do. But no, and that paves the way for this great falling away. Can you imagine someone who's been trying to follow God? You know, it's a struggle. Life is hard. There's a struggle here. And then life just gets so bad, so bad. And you keep remembering how, and you're seeing signs. The Bible says when you see these things, go to the hills. If the rapture were to take place, there'd no reason to go to the hills. You're already in the higher places. But you're seeing all these signs, and you're remembering, Pastor said, I'm supposed to be snatched out of here. Obviously, maybe it was a rapture, and I wasn't taken.
I didn't see any pressed clothing laying around.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, all that folded up clothing. Yeah, and the surgical implants laying neatly on top of the clothing. Oh my God. Hollywood and your pastors have set you up for a great downfall in your spirit, your mind. And the Bible says there'll be a great falling away of the faith. And it's all because of these preachers preaching this for years. And they just need to get this book open and earnestly read it.
Especially the part where it says, he who endureth till the end.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's the end of the rapture. Oh, is it 3 seconds long?
Right.
No, you're right, Jonathan. He endureth to the end. So this little man who exalts himself to greatness, had eyes in the horn, eyes of a man and mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now this is a quick narration of the four kingdoms, and they are simultaneous kingdoms. And this is where, what he sees, that they arise simultaneously, and they're put down by the Ancient of Days. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Now, this references to the wheels as burning fire. You have to go to Ezekiel and try to figure out that out. But there are angelic vehicles that God has placed his throne on, and it appears as a wheel within a wheel with lights surrounding the outer perimeter, and his throne descends on that. It's very interesting. It's very difficult, just like Daniel's difficult to understand. Ezekiel, you think Daniel's hard to understand. Ezekiel will absolutely turn your mind inside out trying to understand it. But that is the basic premise of these this burning, fiery wheel. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and judgment was set, and the books were opened. This is a narration of the final judgment. And this is the judgment of the dead, okay? Not when the Lamb opens his book of life, okay? Anytime the book, and you have to go to Revelation to see it called the judgment of the dead. All of those in the judgment of the dead. That doesn't mean that your body is dead. That means you are spiritually dead. There will be one sentence at that judgment, and they will all be guilty. I behold, then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now that is Satan, who has indwelled this man, be called Antichrist. And just a little narrative on him. He will begin as a man, a politician of some sort. And then he will be wounded in an assassination attempt. And at that time, Satan will indwell his body and reanimate it. I don't believe it's true life. I truly believe it's an animated piece of dead flesh that will be perceived as a human still alive and still beautiful. But in reality, I believe it will be a rotting corpse the entire time. I don't think Satan has that ability, but I may be wrong. That's just my personal interpretation, and maybe I'm not wanting to give him all the power that he actually has. I don't know.
In the world today, with the technologies and stuff like that, the Android and the inception of AI and everything, I kind of have same mindset that they, you know, and this right here might seem fringe, but I believe that they're going to try to build him an Android and use AI to let him indwell that body, because he himself can't do the same as God does. He can only do like a copy or mimic.
Right, right.
But I kind of have the same feeling. But
yeah, again, that's so, my feeling. Something down those lines.
Right, right.
As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Interesting there, because Satan's end comes midway through the great tribulation period, and that is after the first three and a half years of the tribulation. And then he himself, the man, the little horn, will go into the temple of God, into the Holy of Holies, the third temple, which Daniel will tell us here shortly, will be built during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And he will proclaim himself God, okay? And a short time after that, about midway through the great tribulation period, he will come to an end. God will intervene and he will come to an end. But it said these other nations, concerning the rest of the beast, these other nations, they had their dominion taken away at that time. Yes, In fact, we're getting ready to see this is a narrative of it, and then Daniel's going to break it down into pieces here and tell more of direct evidence of exactly how things are going to happen. But their dominion will come to an end. One of them, America, will come by the hand of the Antichrist. He will actually destroy the country, and that's coming up here in the next chapters. And the other three will end at the great battle there in Jerusalem, in the Valley of Megiddo. And then it says Satan will continue a couple of months and a year. So, looking at 16 months there, and concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged. Okay? They still exist. Their power has been broken, but they're not, the people are not all wiped out for a season and a time. And a season is a short period of time, and a time is representative of 1 year. So we're talking about 14, 16, somewhere in there, months. And that's an interesting time because there are other places in the Bible that say after the great battles, there will be a reflection time from humanity to reflect on what has happened. Who is this great God who's come down and intervened in world events? And where should our allegiance lie? God is so merciful, even at the very end, because after the 3.5 year period, after the abomination of desolation, there is your rapture. We're going to go through a whole lot of tribulation, Christians, and then you'll be taken out. And the ones that are left here have no interest in God whatsoever. But he's leaving here a year and a half of reflection time to reflect on what has happened in this world and who is this God. And maybe some will still come to the understanding. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. There was given him dominion and glory and the kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Now that is Christ coming to take control of this world. And I've been in church all my life, and they really don't preach and understand this portion of it. And it's not coming from the pulpits that Christ comes and takes over this world just like it is. Mm-hmm. In its devastated, high technology, devastated moment. I mean, cities torn down.
That's right.
War has been waged everywhere. In fact, there's other places this Bible takes 7 years to clean up from the battles. And it even talks about cleaning up radioactive waste. It says specialists are brought in that have knowledge of how to clean this up. And after the cleaning process is done, if anyone is passing through there and sees any weapon of war or a bone fragment or a piece of a human being, they're not to touch it. They're to place a sign there and tell the experts where it is so that they can come and properly clean it up, because, I mean, it almost reads right out of the Army NBC manual, Nuclear Biological Weapons Manual. Very interesting. So Christ will come, and he's going to take over this world just like it is and lead it into the 1,000-year millennial period. As high as technology is now, can you imagine where it will be 1,000 years later under a righteous king? I don't believe there'll be anything technologically wise that mankind will not achieve that he's always wanted to achieve. The only thing that's held man back are wars. Wars and hatred. Can you imagine?
The control of, information.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and the same thing you're saying with the technologies, having a righteous king with the technologies.
What did God do when in Babylon when they were building the tower?
I mean, he was pleased at first when they were first doing it. Yeah. But before, you know, his intention turned into,
and he comes down, he says, they all speak the same language. They're all cooperating.
Right.
Let us go down there and confuse them because they are rising too quickly.
Right.
Yes.
Have it kind of throttle it back a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. So that they didn't end up doing something stupid.
Even
though it did, but
the tower was the craziest thing in the world. Let's build ourselves a tower to heaven. Be like God. God says, I ought to put a stop to this. Let's mix these languages up a little bit. Mix your religious thoughts up a little bit and create great diversity in the world, and you're going to be slowed down. It's like they were getting picked up by the regular school bus, and then one day the short bus started coming.
Yep.
But Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I can imagine, Daniel. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And that's the narration that you just seen here. The four kingdoms will arise, and God will put them down, and Christ will take over. That I would know the truth of the fourth beast. He's talking about the diverse one, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron. And that reference there means that he didn't take anything from anyone. Anyone got out of line, they were devoured. Not literally with his mouth, by his forces. And his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces and stamp the residue with his feet. Anyone opposing is the residue. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell. And that are the 10 kingdoms of men who choose to follow after. And we cannot recognize these nations. We assume that a lot of them will be from Europe, but it's absolutely impossible to identify these. But we see that 10 choose to follow him in the beginning once he gets to the 3.5-year period. And when he first comes, the world is going to rejoice. It's going to be a wonderful person, the Antichrist. He's going to erupt peace. A peace is going to erupt throughout the entire world.
Yeah, he'll have all the answers.
All the answers, yes. And do great miracles. Mm-hmm. This is wonderful, but then about 3.5 years in, his true nature comes out. And that's where these 3 nations, they decide to rebel against him, and they're destroyed. Even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And we also go back to that miry clay and iron mixed with the feet, where it says, and they, referring to the spirits of the demons of the fallen angels who had come down and procreated with women, and they have mixed themselves with the seeds of men and have become the heads of this kingdom. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. There you go. There you go, rapture wishers. How is that possible? Because this is like 3.5 years in right here to the tribulation.
That's a good point, too, because whatever says that he was released to make war with the saints.
Yes, absolutely. There's so much evidence in this Bible that the rapture is going to take place a moment before God's church is physically wiped out. I mean, it's already put underground. It's already persecuted. Mm-hmm. And it is been outlawed, and if God waits any more, all of them are going to be killed, and that's when he steps in. Mm-hmm. And that's why so many of them fall away, because their faith was not great enough to endure this. But it's right there, and behold, the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. That means he destroys the church, not physically destroying all of the Christians yet at this time, but the actual church and its ability to function and its ability to publicly function is going to be taken away. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And that's where we seen in the narrative earlier when Christ came back and began the millennial period. During that time of reflection after the great battle. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, because it's not led by a man. It is led by a demonic force, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, shall devour the entire earth, and shall shred it down and break it in pieces. The one world government will not all the nations will not cooperate. It says 10 do right off the bat, and then the rest must be subdued. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are the 10 kings that shall arise. Another shall arise after them. He shall be diverse from the first king, and he shall subdue 3 kings, the 3 that rebel against him. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall swear out the saints of the Most High, persecute the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Interesting. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. That's not talking about the American Constitution. That's talking about God's times of sacrifice in the temple and the laws of God himself. Because this man will go into the temple and to proclaim himself God, tell them that the God they've been worshiping is nothing more than a pipe dream.
Here's a new covenant.
Yes, here's a new covenant of peace that I'm going to give you. And set himself up in the Holy of Holies as God. And this times and laws refers to the times of the evening and morning sacrifice. And they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. Okay, there it says it again. Rapture wishers, you're going to be given into this man's hand for 3.5 years. It's in black and white. They shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. Everyone knows what time and time and a dividing of time means. If you've read biblical prophecy, that is 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Final judgment of the Antichrist right there. His kingdom will not last. God will come and take it away. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitions much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. He was mesmerized by what he saw. He could not get his mind off of it. It troubled him completely. But the final portion there explains how Christ comes back, begins the millennial period, and the entire earth is under his reign and the reign of his saints that return with him, who were just snatched away just a brief period before his return. I can't get over the fact that we know, well, some of us know why there's going to be a great falling away in the end times, and there's nothing we can do about it. Mm-hmm. We can talk about, we can tell pastors to stop preaching, that you're going to be snatched out of here in this great calling that God's going to do, the rapture, which is not going to happen until we are 3.5 years and a few days into the tribulation period. You're going to see hard times. Why do you think God has said it so many times? There's going to be a great falling away of faith before. Considering in 2 Thessalonians concerning our gathering to Christ and his coming, it shall not happen till the man of sin goes into the temple and proclaims himself God. And Daniel has spelled out in days when that will happen. It's the 3.5 years in. You got to understand. You got to prepare. God says, you see these signs, go to the hills. Don't prepare for a rapture. Go to the hills. Hide. It's a very frustrating thing to realize Christianity has a goal of bringing people to Christ. And the religious aspect of Christianity has a goal of stumbling those who they bring to Christ. God hates religion. Religion is the practices that you do. God wants your heart. These different denominations have adopted things that men have said years ago concerning matters in this Bible and prophecy, regardless of what we know now. You know, this Bible is so much easier to study with computers. If I want to know a reference to a certain thing in this Bible, within moments, I can have all 175 references in the entire book pulled up here on the screen, and I can read them out. It would have taken days to research, even weeks, and possibly not even find all the references.
I was saying, they're telling how many you would miss.
Yes. Yes. You're following preconceived ideas from men 150 years ago or 500 years ago. Not saying that they didn't earnestly study the Word of God. Not saying that they didn't have the heart of God. Not saying that some of them aren't correct. But in this matter, they're not correct in any way, shape, or form. It's like, I know bad things are going to happen, but I'm going to wish them away by creating this rapture event that's going to take me out of here. And I'm going to cling to that word right there in that verse, even though these other 27 verses kind of tell something different. I'm clinging to that one. And I'm going to lead my congregation into a great falling away, because I'm going to tell them that God's not going to allow any of this bad stuff to happen to them when it's not true. Prepare yourself, because it's close. Things are happening, and we are in the last days of this world. You got to prepare yourself, Christian. You got to know this rapture is not going to snatch you away before you see a lot of bad things, and not before you're persecuted, and not before the nation of America is destroyed and unable to wage war again. It's coming up. We're going to discuss that in just a little bit. It's been a good one. We got through one chapter, but Daniel is complex, and I hope I've given it justice today. We were talking about chapter 7, the book of Daniel. Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7, and we'll catch you next time.